Move on to the next case of the morning, which is United States versus Armando Mercado. Mr. McGowan.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Armando Mercado. This is a case where the question before the court is whether the district court erred in applying the obstruction of justice enhancement for statements that Mr. Mercado made at an unsuccessful change of plea hearing and sentencing. As this court's well aware, for obstruction, the defendant must have willfully obstructed and impeded the administration of justice. Furthermore, when obstruction is based on perjury, the district court's findings must encompass all of the factual predicates for a finding of perjury. And perjury is providing false testimony under oath concerning a material matter with the willful intent to provide such false testimony rather than as a result of confusion, mistake, or faulty memory. And this court is specifically required that the district court find specific intent to obstruct justice in the statements. Now, these statements were made, as I said, for the most part, a change of plea hearing where Mr. Mercado was trying to change his plea from not guilty to guilty. He never wavered in his attempt to change his plea from not guilty to guilty, so this is not a case where he got cold feet during the change of plea process and said, oh, forget it, I'm not pleading guilty, I want to go to trial. And in fact, at the very end of the change of plea hearing, the government tried to provide a separate statement of fact to help establish the change of plea facts basis. And one of the problems I would indicate from my reading of this record is that the district court was not aware of the facts of this case when he tried to interview Mr. Mercado or tried to ask him questions about his participation in this offense.
Well, wasn't Judge Lozano concerned about the equivocation, like saying coincidence and things like that? Are you saying, is this some kind of a language factor that his plea?
I believe that there are a lot of problems in this change of plea hearing, and certainly the district court was very concerned with the equivocation. But the equivocation actually was in various forms, some of which was, you know, I never knew this guy. And that was borne out in trial, for instance, in many of the participants. They had just sort of had telephone conversations among themselves, and it was a group of four or five people, some in Chicago, some elsewhere, that established this. So there were a lot of reasons during that change of plea hearing for Judge Zong to have some concerns other than the statements that he specifically identified to support the obstruction of justice enhancement. Now, the obstruction enhancement was based on these particular statements that I've been able to identify. He was kind of broad in his statements, but the ones I was able to identify specifically concerned a question that the district court asked him about his connections with Agent Garcia. The question was, well, now why did Agent Garcia contact you about 10 kilos of cocaine? And Mr. Mercado did equivocate a bit, but finally said, I don't know, which, as I argued in my brief, is factually accurate unless Mr. Mercado could read the agent's mind.
Well, but that's fairly technical. I mean, the government suggests that perhaps the more responsive answer, I mean, why did you come here today? I suppose I don't really know, since I can't read your mind, but it probably has something to do with the fact that we told you that oral argument was today, and so you showed up.
I mean, well, I was ordered, yes. However, in Mr. Mercado's case, I would indicate, I believe that obviously there were better answers to this. And in fact, in my mind, the more accurate answer is, well, he's trying to set me up.
Or maybe I already sold him an ounce.
Now, that's what Judge Lozano evidently was expecting after he heard the evidence at trial. But I just don't believe that under the circumstances of perjury that the ultimate statement, I don't know why the agent asked me for 10 kilos, is an appropriate basis. And let me put it this way. Even if all these other transactions occurred, the most that Agent Garcia ever got from Mr. Mercado was half an ounce of cocaine. That's a lot different than 10 kilos. So, you know, if the question is, I think it's a sloppy question myself, and I think it's based on the district court not knowing what the facts of the case were. So, just because there would be a different, more accurate answer doesn't necessarily mean that this establishes a perjury. The other specific question that the district court identified was about his contacts with Troy, who was another co-defendant. And they'd been talking about a telephone conversation that he had with Troy immediately preceding this. But then the district court asked, well, did you have anything else other than to tell him who had it? Did you do anything else other than to tell him who had it? Him meaning this Troy person. And the answer was no. Well, in the district court's ruling on why he was giving him obstruction of justice, he seemed to imply that he thought that the answer to that question should have been what else Mr. Mercado did in the offense. But under the standards when viewing a person's statement for perjury, you should look at the statement in the light most favorable to the person. And there is an alternative explanation of this, and it could have been he's referring to the telephone conversation, which was at an end at that point. Simple statement, I've got the drugs, or whatever the telephone conversation was about. It was a simple telephone conversation. And so, again, I don't believe that that's necessarily adequate to support a perjury finding in this case.
Do you think Judge Lozano, with this unsuccessful change of plea, was concerned that Mr. Mercado was about to plead guilty to something that he hadn't actually done?
Your Honor, that's certainly a possibility, and that's why it went to trial, I believe. I don't have any objection to Judge Lozano's not accepting the change of plea. Mm-hmm. And I haven't argued that that was incorrect. And I'm sure he had that concern based on the answers. But like I said, some of the answers were, I didn't know this person, I'd never dealt with this guy, I wouldn't have done this unless I knew Agent Garcia was looking for drugs. Those would cause any district court, I believe, some concern. But to turn around and use those same statements to increase the person's sentence after he went to trial and didn't testify at trial, I think is taking it a bit too far, especially with these statements that we're talking about here. And the legal basis for the argument is the district court didn't actually talk about how these statements were material, how they showed intent.
The government argues materiality certainly can go and goes to the sentence, that the guy was trying to almost do an Alford plea without doing an Alford plea.
I think that's a bit far-fetched given Mr. Mercado's background. This was the first time he'd ever been charged in a case. This was his first change of plea. He has a seventh grade education. He doesn't speak the language perfectly, whether or not you believe he speaks it well enough to have an interpreter or not. He had an interpreter, and the interpreter was talking in his ear. I've never been in that situation before. I can imagine that would be confusing.
I have, and it's very confusing, especially if you sort of 10% understand the language that's being spoken in the room, and you keep hearing words you know. But anyway,
But even if you know English, well, you don't necessarily know the legal jargon that's being used, or why questions are being asked. And that goes to the other part of my argument about perjury here, is that how can this not be confusion? The district court found that it wasn't confusion, but I think that's clear error. And the district court didn't mention how it could be a mistake, which could include misunderstanding the district court's questions, or a faulty memory. The district court didn't make those findings, and I think it's incumbent in this circumstance for the district court to have done that to support the district court's findings. Concerning the sentencing statements, as I've indicated in my brief, and I'll argue now, that I believe that the statements themselves were not particularly identified by the court, but my reading of the statements at that sentencing hearing were Mr. Mercado trying to explain what he said at the change of plea hearing, and even if there are some statements that directly are contradicted by the evidence at trial, they would amount to nothing more than a denial, which is an exception to the obstruction enhancement. And we would request that this court remand with instructions that he be sentenced without the obstruction enhancement. And I'd like to remain, have the rest of my time before rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Heller.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. We believe that the district court made sufficient factual findings in this case to warrant the imposition of the sentence enhancement for obstruction of justice against Mr. Mercado, and those factual findings were not clearly erroneous. As defense counsel stated, under Dunnigan, the obstruction enhancement is warranted for perjury. The defendant gave false testimony with willful intent concerning a material matter. I believe that the district court's findings that these statements were false was not clearly erroneous. The defendant lied in numerous fashions on why this occurred. He lied about why Mr. Garcia contacted him. He lied about why and when Troy Guthrie contacted him. He lied about whether he had ever done drugs before. He lied in the end, in the final analysis of his case, when Judge Lozano asked him, well, did you do anything in this offense other than give a name to another person? He said no. And that's when Judge Lozano cut off the plea agreement, I think correctly, as you stated, Judge Wood, because under the circumstances, it wasn't clear that any offense had occurred, or that if there was an offense, it wasn't due to entrapment, and there was no way that he could accept the change of plea. I think that is why the change of plea hearing was cut off at that point. But those statements were clearly false based on the testimony at trial. He knew why Mr. Garcia contacted him. As Agent Garcia testified at trial, he provided him with drugs on two prior occasions, and in fact, Mr. Mercado had called him and told him about the nature of the deal. He stated at the hearing that Troy Guthrie contacted him on Sunday, February 11th, 2001, the day before the deal went down. Troy Guthrie testified that the conversations had been going on before that, and as did Miguel Herrera, another co-defendant in the case, that these conversations had been going on for a long period of time. So it was easy to conclude that those statements were false. And furthermore, the statements at the sentencing hearing, I think, were also false.
To the statement disclaiming the knowledge of the plea at the change of plea hearing, why Garcia contacted him. It may be that we can imagine why Judge Lozano thought that was material, but doesn't Dunnigan require something other than, it reminds me of rational basis review in the equal protection area. If you can dream up any reason why the district court might have thought it was material, then it's fine, except that's not what Dunnigan says. We need a clue from the district judge.
Well, the district judge says he believes it's material, I think, generally because it goes to the greater issues of guilt in the case. I mean, if the defendant really had no idea, if someone had called him out of the blue and had stated that, you know, I'd like to sell 10 kilos of cocaine, do you know anybody, then the defendant really isn't committing an offense. So it's material to the question of his guilt, and it's material to the issue of what happened at the change of plea hearing. Had the defendant testified truthfully at the change of plea hearing, the plea would have been accepted. And certainly he wouldn't have been entitled to a minor participant or a minimal participant reduction. And
we
I think
know
that's
that the judge was saying, I mean, that's certainly an argument that's made in your brief, that he was really trying to find some very narrow middle ground where he could get the benefit of the plea but also get minor or minimal participant.
Well, the district court did not make that specific finding. It did not make
that
finding on the record in the hearing. The district court's findings are minimal. We think that they're sufficient, but I'm not going to make the claim that Judge Lozano went overboard in making his findings in this case by any means. The statements that he made at the sentencing hearing, I think, also are clear lies, and he was at that point trying to get out of the obstruction enhancement and making claims that the interpreter was not proficient, that the interpreter was not translating all of his answers, was only translating half of his answers, and I think it's clear on the record that Judge Lozano could make the findings that that was simply not true, that the interpreter had been in his court before, that he was proficient in Spanish, and that the interpreter was doing a good job of making those translations, and that, again, the defendant was making lies to obstruction justice, this time to attempt to make sure that the obstruction of justice enhancement wasn't awarded, which is simply not something the defendant's allowed to do under oath. If the defendant believes that the obstruction of justice enhancement is not warranted and that he shouldn't receive it, his remedy is to appeal to this court and to have this court say that that's not an appropriate usage. It's not for him to go and to try to make up other reasons why he shouldn't be receiving that particular enhancement. And so I don't think, as Mr. McGowan contends, that it was clear error for him to find that these statements were not the product of confusion or mistake. The defendant had an interpreter at prior court appearances at the arraignment and at some conferences that had gone on and had no problems in those findings.
Do you think we actually do have a finding from the district court that there's no confusion?
I think we definitely have that finding. There's definitely a finding that there was no confusion, and that's the only argument that was presented at the district court level. So, I mean, the district court, I certainly, I don't think that there's, and I don't think that the case, I think the case law bears out, if the district court makes sufficient findings that there was willful intent, here the argument by the district court was, well, there was no willful intent because there was no, because there was confusion, and mistake and faulty memory would follow from that. Certainly, as much as the defendant claims to have remembered about being set up in the days of phone calls that were occurring, I don't think the district court would find faulty memory or mistake if this were remanded to him for that reason. But I think there are definitely sufficient findings of willful intent here because of the lack of confusion, because he found, in fact, that in some instances the defendant wasn't even requesting an interpreter. I mean, I don't know how well it's borne out in the record, but at the hearing, the defendant was basically answering the question as they were being asked in Spanish, as Judge Lozano was asking them in English, and he had to admonish him several times, you were to wait until it's translated into Spanish to respond in Spanish to the question. So therefore, I think it was acceptable for him to find that this was not a product of confusion, and that therefore these were material to the proceedings that were going on, both at the change of plea hearing and at the sentencing hearing, and that therefore it was within the district court's discretion to find that there was perjury in this case, and that it was on a material matter, and it was with willful intent, and that therefore the two-level enhancement for obstruction would be warranted. And so if there are no further questions, we would simply ask that the sentence be affirmed.
Okay, thanks. Anything to add, Mr. Cowan?
Yes, Your Honor. I would reiterate that it's not clear that Judge Lozano would have accepted the guilty plea, even if those questions had been answered differently. And the minor participants, they were never argued, they were never raised, and I think it's a stretch to think that Mr. Mercado would even know that they existed and would try to fashion his answers to account for those. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. This case will take him under advisement.